Today on Media Litter Sandwich,
we talk about being a salesperson with Richard, who was a salesperson, sold people on coming to a Comic-Con, a larger Comic-Con than what we've been to recently.
Yeah, what's going on there, man?
I got something here that says Pod Bros.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fraternity. It's okay. Yeah. Welcome to Media Litter Sandwich. I'm Scott Maiali, better known as Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. With me is the Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
And today joining us is Richard. Do you have a Twitter or anything you want people to follow?
Hey, it's Rich.
Hey, it's Rich.
Hey, keep it simple around here.
Is that your actual Twitter?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's my handle for Instagram, Xbox Live. Want to find me on there?
What games you playing on Xbox?
Most people make fun of it. I'm still playing The Division. Okay. So it's taking me a long time to get past like level 12.
Okay. Long Division, Short Division.
No,
it's a Tom, I don't play games.
It's a Tom Clancy game.
Oh, okay.
So whole world outbreak thing happens, and you're the best of the best people out there.
Dude, man, you can blow hours doing that stuff. In some cases, it's love, it's an addiction, but hey, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those like COD people or Halo. It's just, they always come with a new one, and I'm just like, I'm still playing this one. Nobody wants to play it no more.
Okay, so in case you didn't realize, he really doesn't work social media, so this interview is a little bit different, and you also don't currently work a convention, but you have worked conventions. You worked, I don't know if you want to say the names of anything, but you worked a larger convention. Mm-hmm. What exactly did you do for it?
I was the floor manager for the Detroit Fan Fair.
And as a floor manager, what did you do?
Put out fires.
Oh, I've heard of that.
No, like instead of promotion, guests, dealers, pretty much selling space, making sure everything's set up, pretty much all the behind the scenes stuff. Then people go there to, you know, have a good time. They get put on. You know, we have to make sure it's all run smoothly.
You know, that sounds a lot like what you used to do. I still do, Mark.
Oh yeah, that's the whole deal with being a manager. You know, it's putting out fires. Like all of a sudden, hey, where did those vendor agreement forms go? You're on the phone again. Here comes. Oh, wait, you mean 12 people didn't sign it yet, and it's the night before the con? Come on.
The one thing about the contract isn't so much about the contract. It's the money you have to get. You know, when you're dealing with like say dealers and stuff. I always just remembered, like, people don't want to sign up. Even when you're offering, like, a really, like, great incentive to sign up for the year, like, the next year, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll definitely do it. And then, like, here's our contract form. You want to sign up, pay us in, you know, within the next 3 months or something. And they're like, yeah, we'll sign it later. And you're like, well, you're coming back next year, right? So that's, like, the one thing about it. Like, I kind of feel it's more about the commitment to it or anything else. Like, even though they know they're going to be there, but they don't want to commit to it. It's almost right. It's almost like New Year's Eve, like, people always want to find the best parties. No one wants to commit to doing something, making yourself an awesome night.
You got to sell people on it.
Always. So that's like the biggest thing about pretty much any industry is just being able to have someone that can stand and, you know, tell people why they need to come do this. Mm-hmm. You know, why do they need to come to Detroit? Why do this, you know, guest want to come all the way from, you know, Chicago, which they're making a ton of money, or miss this other convention, which was really good for them the previous year, to come here to, which, I mean, Detroit doesn't have the best reputation beforehand.
Right. Yeah, I dealt with that a little bit, but the difference, I was working with a volunteer con. You actually worked for a con that was big. You actually had some money and things like that. Tell us about some of the guests you were able to bring in.
Stan Lee.
Okay, how'd you wrangle that one?
That was all the late Gary Reed. We started off small, and it was just the other two promoters, myself and the other floor manager. When I first started out, the first year I was the assistant to the floor manager, which was Jeff Serling, who was head of Motor City Comic Con, who got us in touch with Gary Reed. And Gary's the one who, you know, basically had the whole Rolodex full of pretty much everyone. Like, everyone's had their start through Gary Reed.
Right.
Like, so he was able to, you know, talk to these people. Like, you know, I think Brian Michael Bendis, he told me, like, got to start through him or things like that. So that was also, like, you know, being able to work under him and just kind of see the way he had a different perspective on things because he was in the industry for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anytime I ever had a chance to sit down there, it was always nice to be able to pick his brain.
Yeah, I know you learned a lot from him, and you know, Gary Reed, we've got to talk to him. We both talked to him at various cons, all the zombie stuff.
The zombie cola. And,
always a pleasure dealing with anything, even now with the zombie cola and all the zombie
stuff. You're the zombie meister over there, Toad.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, let's get back to... So, I know you talked to, or at least you learned from him, and you were able to get other people to come to the conventions. What are some things you did?
It's mainly just, like I said, trying to sell people on why they need to come here. Like, part of the thing was being able to go to other cons, like, throughout the weekends, and seeing the way they did stuff to kind of build that better mousetrap. And then when they're there, talking to them and getting to know them and just, you know... A part of sales, I feel like, is being able to be excited about something and show them why you're excited for them. And if you can, like, express that, and if you express that and they can feel it coming off you, there's no reason why they wouldn't want to come to your show. Right. So and that's anything. That's whether you're selling clothes at the mall. If they say, hey, you look good in that shirt, and they really look good in that shirt. Or if you're trying to get someone to come to a whole different city that's pretty much has the mentality you're going to get shot at.
Now, you mentioned selling clothes at the mall. Now, you did used to... work retail, eventually you actually went back and was a manager at a retail store. Mm-hmm. How did that help you do this? Because them.
Oh, yeah, because I feel that's where I built my sales skills, were at the mall, like being able to, like, trial and error. I had this really crappy job all through, like, probably when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then when I got, you know, my graduated school, I was just doing manual labor, and I ended up getting a job as a butcher, and I almost cut my thumb off.
Dude.
So I was like, I don't know where else to go from here. Let's go where every other salesperson graduates. Let's go to the mall. You know? That kid is on the escalator again. And I just ended up going to the mall and was, you know, telling the person, like, actually, I got the job, but I actually sold the guy. I said, hey, I put an application in here, and I never got a call back. Why not? And he's like, well, why do you think you didn't get a call back? I said, I don't know, but I feel like I'm great at talking to people. I'm not afraid to approach you. You know, I mean, you're the manager of this whole store. And he said, come back Monday. And it was right during back to school. And I was, you know, just happy to, like, kind of take what he did and kind of turn into my own thing.
Right. Now, how did you get go from that to getting people to sign up for Comic-Cons?
It's telling them why they needed to come. I mean, we had a great show put together. We really wanted to... One of the best things about our show was we wanted to give the city everything that they deserved. Like, only mm-hmm. show that was around the Detroit area was the Motor City Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And, like I said...
Which wasn't even in the Motor City, and still isn't in the Motor City. Still isn't.
Novi.
But one of the things, like, I really, like, you know, I didn't go to my first Comic-Con till I was 23.
Okay.
And I had the mentality that it was, like, you know, San Diego or even, like, a New York and stuff. And then going there, and the first thing I see was, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard car and, you know, a bunch mm-hmm. of wrestlers. And it wasn't the whole, like, idea that I had in my mind. But after talking to everyone else, like, all the other, like, artists and people that go with them on a regular basis, they say this con isn't anything compared to some of the other cons out there. And that was kind of what we wanted to venture out to do, was mm-hmm. build this convention for the fans, for the people out there that actually enjoyed comics and wanted to have that experience. You know, taking your kid to, you know, kids and, you know, people in costumes or, you know, whatever right. they were into. It's basically a safe haven for the nerd culture that wanted to go out there and have a fun weekend.
Right. Now, you mentioned you go to a bunch of other cons and see how they were doing it. Now, at those other cons, who are some of the people you met and were able to sell to come to the con you're representing?
I know we talked to Dave Finch. He came. Angus Oblong. Trying to think of some other people that were, you know, I don't know how many of your fans actually, like, you know, are, like, deep into the comic stuff. But, you know, we tried getting Jeff Johns to come. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to... you know, get these people all here. And some people, like I said, didn't want to come, and some people came. Like, you know, but one of the best people out there was Brian O'Halloran. He came.
He wasn't even supposed to be there that day.
He wasn't even supposed to be here that day. Exactly.
I think that's our second Kevin Smith reference of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys say, dude, we got the best Opa in Detroit area. Come on over.
Yeah.
Opa! Oh.
That'll bring him.
Yeah, well.
And Kid Rock. No.
It'd be great.
Really?
He has a beard on. Why does he have a comic book?
We're the home of ICP. You got to be there.
Oh, yeah. Kid Rock needs a comic book. Not that I would actually read it, but you know it would sell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
I was going to say, the other people I know we had was David Prowse. Michael Jai White.
The real Vader.
The real Vader.
Oh, and Spawn.
Mm-hmm. That's why, people talk bad about them. I really like that Spawn movie.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about redoing it, but I was just listening to the Jean-Claude Van Damme podcast, and they were going on about, I can't even say his name, Michael Jai White.
Michael Jai White, yeah.
Michael Jai White. And they're going on what great, actor he is. And he is. Everything I've seen him in, he was even in, I want to say Luke Cage. He was in Luke Cage. And he was even good at that. He was only in like one or two episodes. But as soon as he entered the screen, this is good. This is going to be good.
Oh, yeah. And that's the best part about, when you get these people here, you get to actually see how they are, off, when they're not on screen. Mm-hmm. And some of the most down-to-earth people, you sit down, have a drink with them. And other ones, I said, don't really, kind of standoffish. But, Michael Jai, he was great. Just kind of sit back.
I was wrong. He wasn't in Luke Cage. He was in Arrow. My bad. Arrow's a little step up, so... Although it's DC, so maybe step down. I don't know. But he was an Arrow, not...
It's a roller coaster between those two. So what do you think about the new Black Panther teaser they had out?
I'm just happy they're making these things.
Yeah.
One thing I remember as a kid is this, you'd see Wizard, who should play, Professor X, and it's, Sir Patrick Stewart, and they have all these people out there, and you're if only they had this movie coming out. And now every week it's a new different thing. This is happening. I was just watching a video. It was a video about a photo that was taken with Robert Downey Jr. and Doctor Strange. Was it Benedict Cumberbatch?
Right.
And pretty much two other people were in it. But they had a T-shirt on with Robert Downey had a T-shirt on with a hole in it where the arc reactor would be. So they were like, is this a real thing? Or is it something with to do with the times, gem? And it's way better than this romanticizing with one day they'll make this movie. It's like they're really making these movies, and you get to actually see them. They're coming out soon.
Wait, there's an eighth Infinity Stone.
I remember when they were making, when they announced Batman and Robin, it was Batman and Robin with Mr. Freeze.
Oh.
Or was that Batman Forever? Batman Forever was Mr. Freeze.
No, Batman. You were the first one. Batman and Robin, Batman, Mr. Freeze, and Poison Ivy.
Okay.
Because the Batman Forever was Tommy Lee Jones
and Jim Carrey. Okay, so I remember when they were talking about Batman Forever and talking about who would play Mr. Freeze. And I was like, you got to get Sir Patrick Stewart to play Mr. Freeze. And he was offered the role. And everyone goes, who's Patrick Stewart? Well, it was in Star Trek. No one watches Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, wait a minute.
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger was offered the role, and Arnold Schwarzenegger took it. And now you look back and you tell people, Patrick Stewart was offered that role. Why didn't he get it? You could see how the culture changed.
He's also the poop emoji.
Oh, yeah. Very, very covenant role is the poop emoji.
No, I mean, he's one of the people that are just great now because... He's been, around this culture for so long, I feel like, that he just can fit any mold you want to put him in, whether it's, a poop emoji in, the technology field or comic books or anything else. It's anything he's in, I'm automatically just going to be in for. And I wasn't even a big Star Trek fan, growing up.
I don't know. Star Trek Next Generation was kind of cool during my time. I thought it was cool. I watch every episode. I wouldn't miss it.
I
Lieutenant Data, come on, who ain't a Data fan?
I watched a marathon yesterday, so I can't say anything. I could tell you this, though.
What?
There are four lights.
There are four lights. Okay.
I can tell you that I've watched all the Star Trek movies before I watched all the Star Wars movies. I didn't actually watch them, for years later.
They still
have to a few years ago, to be honest. I'm like, I need to really watch these things. I work at a comic shop. What kind of person am I? I was like, but now, if you want to talk for a search for Spock, I could talk all day about it, but
they still have to reveal Jar Jar Binks. Come on. He was in the dark side.
He was a true Sith, yeah.
Yeah, the worst.
Wouldn't it have been the weirdest thing if that would have been the big, huge plot twist in the last Star Trek or Star Wars movie?
I think that could have turned the ties and made him a popular character.
I think that you would have had George Lucas fans just ready to stab everyone.
You already had George Lucas fans ready to stab everyone.
No, you had him sharpening the knife. They would have like literally marched in droves like through the streets. It looked like the riots in the 60s in L.A.
So you worked fanfare, which is now debunked and no longer around, to my knowledge.
Sadly.
Yeah. Right. And you do have a new day job now. You don't have to say what it is or anything, but you're still in sales.
Always.
You know, I feel like sales is something, if you really like it, you could almost step and go into pretty much any kind of career side.
As long as it involves people, I feel like it's going to involve sales. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have computers that are out there that can do what a person does, you make you feel the way you do about, you know, going somewhere or buying something, then there's no need for a salesman. But there's always going to be a need for a person to come up and like actually sell you on why you need to do something.
Mm-hmm. A closer.
You know, my daughter sold me on having a freaking pop sock the other day. I'm like, what is this? $14.99. Like, do you really know $14.99 buys you these days? That's like a Happy Meal. You know, so but she's like, look it, all my selfies are perfect. Look it, that you could do my videos, no shaky. And you know, she's big on this, you know, YouTube and making videos and Musical.ly's and everything else. I'm like, you know what, you sold me, you need it. And I went and bought it for her. If you could sell me on it, it's like, tell me why.
Kids are great salespeople.
They are.
I need it because of this.
And that's what I was trying to say earlier about when you have someone that can like express to you the need and the desire and the feeling that they get from this thing and can convey it to you, then the job is done. The sale is made. The sale is made when both people get what they want. And, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's my daughter who got a freaking pop socket and I got, you know, the satisfaction of being able to get it for her mm-hmm. or getting someone to come out of the city and they got to come here and make a big pocket full of money and then get on a plane and go home. All right. Maybe buy some for their kid.
Mark, you have anything else you'd like to ask?
Yeah, you know, in your sales career, Comic-Cons, who was your favorite character or personality to work with?
You know, that's a really tough question because, like, I like a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. Like, Freddie Nova, one of the big cosplayers, I always like seeing her and talk to her because she, like, had so many costume changes throughout, like, the weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just be like, oh, my God. Like, and that's something that was kind of cool because, like, I told you that, you know, I didn't get the best Comic-Con experience. My daughter, when she would go there, though, you know, I'd be like, look at this person dressed up like Venom or freaking Predator or something like that. You know, or like I said, being able to go and, you know, have a beer with Brian O'Halloran at the end of the night saying, hey, weird stuff's happening. What are you doing right now? Are you up in your room? Come on down, you know. Come on down to the room. Let's have a beer and hang out. Or, you know, go and get Tyler Main cigars. Like, just to be able to have those experiences, I think, is the best part about, like, my whole experience there. Not to mention that the comic, you know, the comic industry is one of the most tight-knit circles out there. You know, that's something that, they, you know, people don't know. Like, whether you're a dealer or a artist or just a fan, everyone knows everybody. Everyone's friendly. Nobody's ever been, like, you know, particularly mean or, you know, malicious any kind of way. So.
What two guests, like, interaction really sticks out of your mind? Whether if, like, wow, I didn't think those two would be best friends, or why are those two fighting?
See, that's the whole thing about, like, you know, the job. We didn't have a lot of fights, you know, per se on there.
Not even with Angus Oblong?
It's like putting out fires.
He just had to go in his own little corner. That's like, it's all just put up. Like, let's take him, because he actually got into a fight with the voice actor from Adventure Time.
Oh.
And I think he ended up, like, rubbing the kid's head, if I remember right. He, like, gave him, like, a hey there, Billy, and gave him, like, a thing. And then, like, since he's a minor, his dad, like, kind of flipped out and was like, you know, and his dad wasn't really the best person to deal with anyways, because I think he was okay. Like, oh, like, you know, talk about how you have to sell people on coming here. You didn't really have to sell him on coming, because they wanted to come, and not for, like, the right reasons. They wanted to come and get, see the city, and they wanted to, like, show me, like, a burnt down building. Show me, like, a gunshot. Like, show me a Filipino knife fight. these are, like, in their account. Like, oh, I want to go out and see the city and go see this. I'm like, we can't do that. You know, and that was one of the things. So we had to actually take Angus Oblong from the guest side and actually put him with, like, the dealers, which he didn't seem to mind. He just kind of does his own
thing. I think he liked it better over there.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, do you have a website where people can go check you out, you know, or what you're doing, or your adventures?
No, I should probably put one together, though. I just do, like, a blog of, like, all my crazy, you know, stories.
Mm-hmm. You know, the adventures of, and it's like, wait, where's the website, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, social media, like I said, not really big on it, but I do like coming in and just talking and hanging out. So yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I was about to say, then you like your privacy then. No. There you go. Putting out fires and privacy.
That's it.
That's a manager.
That's my life.
Well, thank you for being here. I just want to wrap up real quick. Being a salesperson is like reaches into anything. If you can talk to people, it's not just selling, you know, items to people. It's about selling what you represent. Selling your podcast, maybe. Advertise here. Selling, you know, selling yourself as a network. Collab with me. Work with me. Maybe I want to work with you. You know, Mr. Awesome Toy Maker, you that makes something better than the other toys I've tried. I'm pointing at a really bad spitwad shooter that I once reviewed. Horrible toy maker item. You know, something cool. Maybe we could work together. And I'm probably not selling myself, but that's something that some people, it comes naturally, or you work at it.
No, you work on it. You got to hone your skills, hone your craft.
Yeah.
If I give advice to anybody, whether you're a DJ or a salesperson or, you know, comic artist, just hone your craft. Just, you know, that's what you choose to do. Work at it, and eventually it gets better.
Thanks, Rich. Where can people find you? Maybe they want to play a game with you.
Hey, it's Rich on Twitter, Instagram.
Mark Monster.
CrazyMark.com.
And I'm Scott Miley, better known as Toadin. And you can find us in September at...
September, you can find us, well, Media Litter Sandwich, over at Flint Comics Fall Fest up in Flint, Michigan. I will be there myself also as Crazy Mark, signing autographs as I had done in the past. So come check us, me, them, Toadin, William, myself out. We'll be right by the droids on the top floor.
Yep, you can find a little more information at MediaLittersSandwich.com, or at least a link to the Facebook page there. And you can find anything Media Litter Sandwich at Podbros, at YouTube.com/ToadinK, and at Toadin.com. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed our discussion.
Bye, guys.